Wow, very surprising news out of the college basketball world.
Oh, what do you got? Again? We opened the last segment.
Frankie Fiddler is committed to Michigan State in the transfer portal.
Oh, come on!
And so Josh thought I was being a little aggressive with the 20-minute over-under for his commitment, but it turns out the under hits.
I got that graphic made, though.
Oh, let's see.
Look at that.
Oh, okay. Fiddler the Fixer.
I only had 20 minutes.
You could have gone with Fiddler on the Roof.
Yeah.
Fiddler in the Mitten.
I don't like that as much.
Fiddler the Fixer?
F to the Izzo.
Okay, that's getting better. Yeah, that's getting better. That's getting better.
What do we think?
I like it. So he went up to Michigan State, and this was 2 weeks ago now on the weekend, and really, I don't think he probably expected to enjoy it that much, but he did. Really liked Izzo, and he is headed off to Michigan State. So what happens with Checky Hepburn? We will indeed find out, but I'm not setting an over-under on his commitment timeline, Josh.
Come on home, Chucky.
Not doing that yet.
Bellevue University needs you.
Bellevue University, nice. A couple things here from the YouTube. Sal writes in. He says,
Hi, Sal.
I don't know who needs to hear this, but eating a pink and yellow Starburst together is like a life hack. It's like pink lemonade. Yellows are useless otherwise. Now, I agree with the idea that the yellow Starbursts are useless.
No. Bad take by you two.
And I agree with you. I assume that you think this, that the pink is the best. But my question is, why would you take away what you get with the pink by adding in the crappy yellow just to make the yellow better? Aren't you spoiling a good thing by putting the yellow into the pink, as the pink is so good?
You're bringing the elite to the mid.
Yeah, I don't think you want to do that. I think you leave the elite alone.
No, I do something similar. I do the red, the cherry ones with the yellow. Do a little cherry lemonade, which isn't really a thing anywhere.
Remember at McDonald's, they used to have those drinks that were like red and yellow? They were just horribly sugary?
Yeah, yeah.
What were those called? I used to get those sometimes, and I would just watch them pump the syrup into the thing. It was like, it was disgusting coming out of the thing. I don't like the image of pumping stuff into my drink.
It was like a slushy, right?
Yeah, it was like a frozen drink. Yeah. it was a frozen drink. Those were weird. Anyway, I didn't like when they pumped those stuff into the drink. That's my take on those. But that's what I'm imagining when you're talking about your little Starburst sandwich that you got, you American gluttonous sicko.
That's right. Want to eat the Starburst as quick as possible.
Any comments on the nasty games yet? I wonder how the poll question is going. Oh, by the way, Chris writes in on the text line.
Hi, Chris.
Those drinks from McDonald's were called diabetes.
Entirely possible.
Cool thing for Frankie Fiddler, though, man. That's awesome. Like, he gets, I mean, go and play for Izzo for a year?
Yeah.
We laugh at Izzo sometimes, especially when he calls Casey Tominaga Casey Tominagua.
It was a great product idea for us.
Doesn't have a voice at the end of each game.
Mm-hmm. Is the...
There'll be a variety of different people, if the schedule ends up right, for Nebraska coming to Lincoln next year.
I was just about to say, the schedule's not out, right?
I feel like they released the opponents. Did they not release the opponents? Let me see if it's in my email somewhere.
Jack John says, save all your yellow Starbursts and I'll come by and grab them.
I'm not going to just put my yellow Starbursts in a pile for you, Jack John. Don't be a weirdo. I feel like they released the opponents, but maybe they didn't. Maybe I'm just imagining that. So St. Thomas is off to USC after doing his 1 year at Northern Colorado. St. Thomas the person.
Oh, not the Tommies?
I can understand why that would be confusing, but yes. St. Thomas is going to USC, which people forget USC is going to be a Big Ten team next year. Mm-hmm. Frankie Fiddler is off to Michigan State. We'll see where the Chuckster ends up. Connor Asesian is playing in Nebraska now. He was at Wisconsin last year. A lot of Big Ten to Big Ten transfers.
Too much movement.
Nebraska was in on that Farrell Payne from Minnesota, but he's off to Texas A&M to play with C.J. Wilcher, who was at Nebraska. So there's a Big Ten connection there. So if you just get Texas A&M on the non-con schedule or play in one of those rando tournaments, then you got a really complete deal going into next year. All right, back to Matt Rhule from yesterday. Let's talk running backs for a second, Josh.
Love those running backs.
I'm a bit on edge here.
Oh?
E.J. Barthel talked a bit today. The running backs talked a bit today. Didn't think there was much, you know, momentous that came out of that. So this is in the midst of a 20-plus minute press conference on Saturday after the scrimmage where he talked about how the offense had such a great day. Rhule did. Matt Rhule, Nebraska football coach Matt Rhule. He talked about how good the offense was, and it was the best day of the offense ever, right? We played the clip yesterday. Great things to say about the quarterback. Great things to say about the offensive line. They're showing consistency up front. They're showing depth up front. He's liked what he's seen from the pass catchers so far. Coach, how about those running backs?
Yeah, I think running back's still a position where we're still not making we're still feeling ourselves, or, you know, kind of through on this. There's so much protections you have to do. Emmett, you know, is just so consistent and had a big, huge, explosive run. So that's what I love about Emmett, man. He can protect. He can catch the ball in the backfield. He can run the football between the tackles. He can take the ball outside. He's just can do it all. So I was talking to Amon Green as we were walking in because he was watching the scrimmage, and I think Emmett really sort of stands out in terms of what he's doing. So really pleased with him. Maurice, consistent, running the football, and he's pretty good on most of his protections. A lot of the other guys still, they can do, in our protection scheme, I've got Sean, I've got him, but then I'm also responsible for if the safety comes, and sometimes we miss the safety, and, you know, that's I tell them all the time, if you're playing for the Ravens and Lamar Jackson's making $45 million, how many times do you think they're going to let you miss that before they tell you to leave? So you got to learn it now. So I think there's some steps to be made at the running back position for us.
So let me get this straight. And to be fair, there's been a lot of Kool-Aid this spring just about the team in general, and I still think they're going to be pretty good next year. But what I'm about to say about the running backs is not going to be good. Okay.
Oh, no. Everybody brace yourselves. Hold on, everybody. Hold on.
So, it's not overly critical. I think in order to play for a Matt Rhule coached offense at running back, it seems as if you have to pass pro. Right? Like that, he just talked about there's some stuff in the pass pro that we got to get right. And then there's the personnel issue, too. I don't think Nebraska has a guy that they've seen go grab that spot yet. Maybe the closest is Emmett Johnson. I don't think they view him as a 20 carry a game guy. So they view him as a bit of a change of pace, like an 8 to 12 carry a game guy, which is fine. Every team needs that. But you also need, you know, the main guy, the feature running back. Don't think they have that at the moment. And what you hope is that you don't have to force a guy who's a role player, a.k.a. Emmett Johnson, to play into a role where he is the feature. He is the star. And then you have a couple injured guys, Gabe Irvin and Ramir Johnson, and you're wondering, and they're older, and you're wondering what you're going to get from them. And then there's Dante Dowdell, who came to Nebraska in the portal from Oregon, and nobody is sure what they're going to get from him either. It's kind of just, I don't know. I don't know what that's going to be yet. Maybe there's an adjustment period that he has to get through. Maybe he just doesn't have it. Seems to be maybe a combination of the two here during spring ball, but we just haven't heard his name much over the last couple weeks of this thing.
That's the thing I'm concerned about. I don't know what he was brought in here for, what they told him he was going to be when he got here. I thought I would hear his name a lot more.
I just think
at this point.
I think their approach on the position in totality is they're going to throw two or three guys out there, and the rest of what we do offense. I think they take the approach of it doesn't necessarily matter who our running back is as long as he could do the things that are required. I would look at it like this. In Nebraska, offense is one game-breaking running back away from being pretty damn good. And so when they talk about the offensive line being good and opening up holes, if Nebraska's in the running back situation they're in right now, we're talking about four-yard gains being four-yard gains, which is fine.
Mm-hmm.
Four-yard gains are fine.
That'll get you there.
But I would really like a running back, and there hasn't been one in Nebraska in a long time now, who could take 4 yards and get six, who could take 4 yards and get seven,
mm-hmm.
who could take 4 yards and break off two tackles and get 14, you know, bust a couple open. Emmett Johnson showed a little bit of that last year. So I don't want to, you know, I don't want to take any credit away from him. But I don't necessarily love their approach to the position in general. And the other thing is they haven't had a guy really rise up. So I don't know what's going to happen regarding their approach.
Do you think Matt Rhule and company are taking kind of the NFL approach to a running back,
yes.
where like
yes.
just it doesn't matter who's out there, like just do it? Or is it, well, we haven't found the superstar running back, so I don't know, trot two or three guys out there.
Yeah, that's a question that we've had to ask ourselves, unfortunately, in the preseason of just about every season since I can remember now, which is like, hey, do they not have a running back because they don't have a running back, or do they not have a running back because they don't want to have a running back?
Right.
And what I always say is, it's a combination, I think.
Sure. Most things are.
But if you had one...
Boy, it would make your life easier.
I think if you had one, then you'd have one, right?
Boy, it would help a freshman quarterback acclimate to the speed of the game.
I need a 1,000-yard rusher this year. I'm not forgetting about this. I'm going to keep pounding on this table. I need a 1,000-yard rusher this year.
He needs it like he needs to be on air.
And I don't love the idea. It's just, maybe it's just not my style, and maybe the game has passed me by. But I don't, like, the coach's retort to it would be, okay, you want a 1,000-yard rusher. What if I told you that I can get you two, that can get you 1,200? And my answer is, that's not what I asked. That's not what I want. I want, and they would say, okay, well, you know, we just care about efficiency in the run game, like hit the runs, you know, do what's, you know. But I think you saw this with Nebraska's instability at running back over the last couple of years, that, you know, when Anthony Grant would get into a bit of a rhythm, he was really good, and he was better on carry 16 than he was on carry 8.
Definitely.
You know? And so I still like that. I think that's still important. I also understand the idea of putting too many miles on running backs as it pertains to their football playing career in general. I think there's a real hesitancy about that. It's a real NFL, you know, friendly type of program, I think, that Nebraska has right now. But man, I just think you're one really good running back away from having all of my worries kind of sewn up on offense. I just don't know if that's there, or maybe if they want it to be there. You have a quarterback who can make all the throws. You have a bunch of wide receivers who can get open, and quarterbacks who can make the throws to them. Good offensive line that could open up holes. It's not necessarily about, like Kyle writes in on the JTech Construction Zone Twitter feed.
Hi, Kyle.
He says 25 carry game backs don't exist anymore. Bell cows aren't a thing anymore. If you only have one, you don't have any. I'm not saying that Nebraska just has to have one, but what I'm saying is I don't want Emmett Johnson to be the one.
It's third and three.
Like, it's not anything against.
It's third and four. Here, have the ball. I know we're getting a first down.
But, like, I'm not out on Emmett Johnson. I really like Emmett Johnson as an 8-12 guy, but I still think there's a role there for a feature running back. He doesn't have to get 25 carries.
Sure.
But it probably has to be 12-16, you know? And I just think Nebraska's empty there right now.
Do you go get one?
So that limits, I think, the ceiling of the offense, which is something that I've talked about already, in the sense that I don't know that how Nebraska's ceiling is going to be this year, but well, that'll all depend on quarterback play. Do you go get one? Is a question.
I don't know who you go get. I mean, the Edwards from Colorado is available as of an hour ago or whatever.
That feels like another kind of change of pace type of, you know, scatty kind of guy.
Yeah.
But they have made contact in the portal. There's been a couple reports out there of guys who are looking around. Your answers probably aren't there either. Like, they got a guy in the portal, and, you know, it's 50-50 whether it's going to work or not. We'll see what happens with Dowdell. So I don't know if that's the answer either. It's just kind of the approach and how they've done it so far. I think it's a position of concern in the sense that the ceiling seems the lowest on that position than any other, maybe on the roster. Like, if you did position by position, what's the highest ceiling? What's the lowest floor? And then what's the lowest floor? What's the highest ceiling? Whatever the inverse of that is. Sorry. Like, I think running back probably has a pretty decently high floor, but a very low ceiling.
Right.
A very low ceiling. And that's kind of where I'm at. I just want to expand that a little bit. That's all. All right. Any thoughts on that? We'll take them on the other side. Let's see. Oh, we got a text here. Oh, we got a text from Brian that we can get to on the other side regarding the spring game. Why don't we do that?
Hi, Brian.
Coming up on the Connor Happer Show on 1620 The Zone.